So, David Greenslade, we are here in Poiana cu Cetate, in Moldova, and I met you, and I listened to the beautiful Welsh language, you reciting poetry in Romania. I wanted to ask you, who inspired you, maybe as a child or as a young man, to write in your native language?
Well, the big name in Wales, of course, is Dylan Thomas. But Dylan Thomas didn't write in Welsh. And Welsh is a minority language. So for me, I had to recover my Welsh language. So I speak Welsh, but my brother doesn't. My brother's children speak Welsh, but my children don't. In the minority language field, language is fragmented. So when I recovered my Welsh, I didn't learn it, I remembered it. Bobby Jones was a big inspiration for me because Bobby is from Cardiff. He learned Welsh and he became one of the great writers in Welsh of the 20th century. I met Bobby many times. I wrote my undergraduate project about Bobby's work and I've brought Bobby's masterpiece, Hinllef Arthur, Arthur's Nightmare, to Romania with me. And I took that book to the Middle East when I lived in the Middle East.
So let us say that this great Welsh poet was the inspiration, the mentor that made you maybe later made you write in Welsh?
Well, Welsh church music, Welsh hymns are also a great poetic form at home. And I grew up singing these hymns without being able to understand them. So this inspired me to learn enough Welsh to understand this poetic form. And then I wanted to write in a contemporary idiom. And yeah, Bobby was an inspiration. Bobby Jones.
Are there also other forms of art in Welsh that are... you have today, let's say, prose or plays?
Well, Welsh is one notable poetic form, and it's called Canghanedd. Canghanedd. And this is alliteration according to very strict rules. I don't write in Canghanedd. Not because it's too difficult, but you really have to make a commitment. It's a very pure form. And even if you write a great poem with great meaning, if the alliteration is incorrect, then the other poets will criticize you severely. And your poem won't get admitted to a magazine or, shall we say, a prize in a competition. So Canghanedd is the most notable, strict Welsh form. But we write in free verse as well. We have a haiku type way of writing, an ode. Praise poetry is very important in Welsh, and young people write praise poems these days to figures in sport, cars, technology. It's a very interesting way of having fun with language.
But prose or plays?
Well, sure, we have the Welsh contemporary novel is highly valued. Drama also, well supported, good writers. But also we have a vibrant rock music scene, which is very important for the younger generation. And they can perform their Welsh music, Welsh lyrics on radio and television. Thank goodness for that.
And that stimulates them to learn better Welsh.
Well, they
because
already
they have the passion for it.
Well, they already speak Welsh. Thank goodness we have a core identity of Welsh speakers. It's just that in my family, I lost the language by the time I was 7, and I recovered it in my 20s and 30s.
I wanted to ask you now if you could read us one poem in Welsh.
Sure, coming right up. It's
What's the name of the book? The title?
Well, this book is called Pebyll, Pavilons, Corts, Tents. It's bilingual in Welsh and Catalan. Fe ddachwel pethau'n diasbedau'n o'i halltid. A'i maint anhagoel cawasgedig rhwng ffyrgybawen a llafn y bawd. Rwy'n ei gwthio nhw, anferthol ond bygythiol fachan, yng nghwmpawd llethrau fy llaw. Nythant yn nisgyl y clydrau a thaimla ddagrau terfynolau pwys. Ond nhw wastad yna, greaduriaid syml wedi eu trechu'n rhwydd anweddus tan y dychwelant mawr a'i rhodres afrosgo yn mynnu adrodd a'i gori waered.
Beautiful language. I like very much the music, and I had a project of organizing a festival with, as I call them, dwindling languages. Mm-hmm. I'm very fascinated about these languages, and the United Nations has also a program where it was wants to save as many languages as possible, because each year there disappear languages. Fortunately, the Welsh culture is in a good shape because it is well sustained by the local government, and I'm sure there are radio and TV in Welsh, and it is taught in school. Up to what age is it taught in school compulsory?
Well, Welsh was a dwindling language because it was under attack in various ways. But it's not a dwindling language anymore. When I was younger, it wasn't taught in all schools. But now it is taught in all schools up to the age of 16. But we also have our own network of Welsh language schools, thank goodness. So this has contributed to the stabilization and a sense of optimism for Welsh.
And abroad, are there also Welsh living who want to cultivate their native language?
That's a great question. Yes, there are. Because in the 19th century, there were several utopian experiments. Not only Welsh people, but the Basques, for example, going to the Western United States, Germans going to the United States. And the Welsh did this in Argentina. They set up a utopian colony in Patagonia. And there we have Spanish and Welsh speakers. But there are also a few dedicated families in the United States. I've met third generation Welsh speakers when I did my research for my book Welsh Fever, Welsh Activities in the United States and Canada. And there are quite a few dedicated programs in the United States promoting an interest in contemporary Wales.
I would want to ask you to read another poem from your green book, as I may call it. It has a green cover. Or no, it's another book with a beautiful painting. It's a collaboration between you and the painter.
Yeah, this is a book called Gwibbly Brief that I wrote with a good friend of mine, John Welson. John and I wanted to make a book. We needed a theme. And we both love the names of moths. Moths have wonderful names in English, but they're equally wonderful in Welsh. So we invented names of dozens of imaginary moths that can't exist in reality. And for every single poem, John made a new painting. And this one is called Moths of the Interstate Highway, Moths of the Autostrada, Gluanod y Drafford. Dyma rhai o lwanod y daith, lleng yr hewl o sawl rhywogaeth. Fflamysgwydd y gilffordd, galaris y ddamwain, gwibddart y saithlon, sithddart y siwrnau. And the poem goes on inventing a new name for every imaginary moth that you might find in the world of driving. The moth of the accident, the moth of grief, the moth of speed, the moth of the self-important driver, We had a lot of fun writing this book.
I wanted to tell that you're married to a Romanian.
Yes.
And now that you're retired, you're thinking of staying a little longer in Romania. What's your plans for the future?
Da, cu bucuros mare, am invațat puțin limba romană. And our plan is to share our time between Wales and Romania. I've already organized 4 exhibitions between Welsh artists and Romanian artists, including a Romanian exhibition in the Welsh Parliament. And my hope is to complete a house in Horlești near Iași. We have a flat in Suceava. And I really intend to bring my Welsh collaborators here to Romania and to develop this natural friendship between my writer and artist friends in Romania and in Wales.
But I see that you're very much into painting. You're a great admirer of visual arts.
I've worked with painters for most of my writing career, and I have 2 at least important artist collaborators: William Brown from Canada, Keith Bayliss from Swansea, and John Welson from West Wales. I also make my own visual art, but not in painting. And this year I'm publishing 2 books of graphics and text, one in Brazil and one in Wales.
Yes, the Romans had a saying, ut pictura poesis.
Uh-huh.
So the poetry and the painting are sisters or brothers.
Sure. Well, I'm interested in the ekphrastic writing as well, which comes from the Greece, I think. Greek, the first description of Achilles' shield is the first example of ekphrastic writing. And this has fascinated me for a long time.
We are waiting for your house to be built and for the first beautiful exhibition in Romania.
Mulțumesc mult, Peter. Thank you.
Opa.
It's really quite a busy place.
Yeah, because it's the...